From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 20th day of October 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll also hear all about the weather forecast, not only for North America, but South America too, from Eric Snodgrass. He's at Agrible. La Nina, by the way, is the word of the day, and you'll hear that spread throughout our program this afternoon, right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Hey, Michael, let's start with the cattle on feed report released by the USDA just a few moments ago. Where did it put the marketings?
At 105%. So we're still seeing it a little over 10.8 million head on feed as of October 1st, Todd. That was well within the trade estimates. A little bit toppy on the range. Placements came in, however, at 113%, 5% above the average, and just 3% from the top. Very wide range to begin with, 103 to 116. So this is probably the issue with the feeders from this report. Note that the 40-day moving average is around 150-130. That was tested on Wednesday and Thursday. That's going to be, I think, an important technical barometer on a close on Monday once these numbers get digested.
Yeah, speaking of technicals, this trade week had been, at least until today, not much of a week, and then soybeans turned around and took a bit of a nosedive, down 7 cents for the most part.
Just not a pretty week at all, given, like you say, what we set up after that report last week. And now we are within a penny of trading, or 2 pennies of trading, the August lows in the soft red wheat, or 4 cents from trading that August 29th low. And the Dease corn is within pennies of trading its report day lows. I think what happened this week and why we didn't see the follow through to the upside from the technicals, even though we saw fresh highs in the stock markets and we saw all-time record highs in the Dow, we didn't get a lot of negative news out of the gold or out of the dollar or out of the crude oil markets. And so I think what happened was the weather came in and presented itself with a wide open week this week, and it looks like there's not going to be a lot of slowdown next week. And I think we just simply went back to a supply-driven market, and that's why we're revisiting these lows instead of building upon the gains, and we're trading back to where we were when those big numbers came out from the USDA with the wheat. And so I think that's the heart and soul of what happened in this market. It's a disappointing close for the week, because this is the time period when, in the last couple of years at least, wheat has been able to find some support. We could have had that support off the hard red wheat numbers and the acreage, planting acreage, being down so much in percent planted on Monday's report, but trade didn't barely look at that. So now we're technically limping going into the rest of the month because we didn't see follow through upside in that weekly chart from last Friday's close.
All of that information for the United States, and it looks like heavier rainfall is due to come into Brazil and Mato Grosso in particular.
Yeah, in fact, AgriRal just came out with their update right before we went on the air. We're up to 20% planted in soybeans in Brazil. It compares to 29% last year, but 19% against the five-year average. Mato Grosso, the big province that you're probably referring to with these planting delays because it's too dry and they need rain, did get started again, and they moved from 14% planted last week to 27% planted as of Thursday. That puts them behind about 20% from last year, but only 1% behind the five-year average. So I think you're right. We had early in the week, before the good export demand for corn and wheat came in on the weekly export sales, we had the soybeans supporting this market in part due to U.S. harvest weather getting wetter, and soybean weather in center west Brazil not getting wetter. That flipped, and we lost soybeans as a demand and as a supply buffer. And I think that's when the corn and wheat decided to turn lower, and the beans couldn't fight it.
Given that 978, 980 for soybeans with as much supply as we have around doesn't seem like it's too terribly bad.
No, it's not. And that's where the 200-day moving average comes into play. That's right around 975 in November beans, Todd. We did lose the 40-week moving average on today's close and the 52-week moving average right around the 980, 981 level. So we did do some technical damage, but I would call the backbone of this market in the beans in the November contract at that 975 level. Close below that will probably open up some downside, and we may have to revisit those report day lows down there around 960 just because the wheat and the corn have. One thing this week has solidified for me in the analysis is that if you want beans to sustain a run above 985, 990, you just got to get the wheat and corn on board, and we just don't have that yet.
And one final thing before I let you go. The Dow Jones Industrial Average blowing through 23,000 earlier in the week, and it just keeps going.
It does. We're hitting some technical objectives. I put an alert out to clients this morning to be on the lookout to buy some S&P puts because we are hitting some major swing objectives with today's rally.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agribull to take a look at the weather forecast. Eric, let's start with this week's weather pattern. It has just been downright gorgeous. How'd that happen?
Yeah, well, we were soaked last weekend. In fact, northern Illinois, some locations saw better than 6 inches of rain. But after that system moved on out, and we did see some cooler temperatures, but after it moved out, we had a ridge build in the southeast. And basically, that allowed for some southerly winds to push through the middle part of the country, but they were relatively dry. So we've had this beautiful week of clear skies and drier weather, and the temperatures each day have been rebounding, and they're going to continue to do that. So today, Friday, is going to be a beautiful day. Tomorrow, here in Illinois, at least, it's going to be a beautiful day. But we got to start watching to our west tomorrow, because on Saturday, it looks as though basically between about Oklahoma to Iowa, maybe up into Minnesota and Wisconsin, there's going to be a long front, a big cold front that's going to be there. And it's going to be the first of three fronts we have to deal with this week. And that front's attached to a pretty deep low pressure system that's way up in Canada. But it is, along it, going to have some decent upper level support to produce some pretty big precipitation. Now, that's going to move through our area on Sunday. So we're going to have a kind of a hiatus in harvest this Sunday. And I know a lot of guys are right now waiting on that corn harvest simply to let the corn dry down as much as they can in the field to reduce some of those costs at the elevators. So we know that, you know, this is going to be another brief delay on that. Now, after that front moves through, again, the first of three, we have this really cool sequence of events in the upper atmosphere, and they're going to combine to basically deepen this trough over the eastern half of the country. And that trough will really be centered in the same place that the ridge is centered now, which is over the southeast. And the translation of all of that is we're going to be having some pretty cool nights coming up to start next week. So I'm talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But what's interesting is that I think it might be just a little bit too windy to allow us to have an overnight frost event. So we're behind already on our first frost of the year here, at least in Champaign. And it doesn't look as though we're going to quite get it at that point. So, you know, that's our short-term forecast. But I'll tell you, the third front comes in that Friday. So we got front after front after front. And between them, we warm up like we're doing right now. So, you know, November and the end of October, there are transitionary months. You know, we're moving toward, you know, our winter season. So we expect to see this. But I guess my point is that I don't see anything getting blocked up. You know, last year at this time, everything was blocked up. We had that huge ridge in the southeast. We were really, really warm, and the southeast was having a nasty drought. Remember all those fires from a year ago? This year's a lot different.
Trough ridge pattern, and then what happens in November?
Well, this is where things get kind of interesting. It appears as though by the time we get it maybe into the first week of November, we need to be watching for the establishment of a ridge over eastern Canada, really more toward Greenland. And if that ridge sets up, that will actually tend to produce for us here in the central U.S. A more kind of northwesterly flow. And the translation there is we could have, you know, a near average to cooler than average November if that pattern sets up and stays established. And we honestly haven't had a cool fall around here in a while. So this could be an interesting setup. And I'll tell you what, that leads me right into one of the things that was just released yesterday, which is NOAA's winter outlook. And their winter outlook is really being driven right now by the developing very, very weak La Nina across the equatorial Pacific. But if you looked at their forecast and you looked at one of my textbooks that talks about, you know, what La Nina should look like in terms of weather in the U.S., they're very, very similar. I have some part of me agrees with it. Some of the research does agree with what they're saying. But I'll tell you, I do see this year the potential to have more of our weather patterns being driven by what we call the North Atlantic Oscillation. That means I'll be staring all winter long at the position of a, basically a big high and a big low pressure system near Greenland and the North Atlantic. I think that that is going to be a more dominant feature than maybe La Nina will be for our winter. And I'll tell you something, if that sets up in the right phase, we could be in for, you know, what I would call a more normal winter, which we haven't seen in the last couple of winters. Noah and I actually agree that we should have a wetter than average winter across the state of Illinois. Question is, does that come in as snow or does that come in as rain? My feelings at this point, kind of looking through things, is that I think we have a better chance of having more normal temperatures, maybe even a slight cool bias, especially in December, which may mean we may see snow. We'll definitely see more snow than we saw last year, but it was pretty pathetic around here last year.
Indeed. Let's turn our attention to warmer climes, South America, Brazil in particular.
Yeah, so one of the big stories coming out of Brazil is the delayed planting. So we've been talking about it every Friday. You know, it's been dry in the northern growing regions, so think Mato Grosso, which is their biggest producing state. The eastern side of all of their growing regions have been very, very dry. We've not seen the rains return to the eastern parts. So, you know, some estimates come in that say Mato Grosso is somewhere between 20 and 30% planted. You know, a year ago at this time, they were 50% planted. So there's some delays. And then in the southern growing regions, if they weren't already in the fields, they're going to be dealing with quite a bit of heavy precipitation through the next 10 days or so. So here we're talking about Paraná. We're talking about Rio Grande do Sul. We're talking about Mato Grosso do Sul. Those particular states, which are also big producers, they're going to have quite a bit of rainfall in the coming 10 days as what we call the South American Convergent Zone sets up right across those areas. So I guess what all this says is that, you know, we've kind of potentially taken away another big, big, big record yield and record production yield a year away from Brazil. And, you know, CONAB and others right now are coming in around 105 to 107 million metric ton, which is still huge, but not 114 like they had last year. So we're watching for some adversity. And I'll tell you the bigger picture. I think we need to be on the lookout for potential for some drought stress later on this year in Brazil and in Argentina.
Is that related to the La Nina we talked about earlier?
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, one of the factors here is that La Nina tends to produce drier conditions across you know, the Brazilian and the Argentinian growing regions. And I've looked at both of their, you know, they both have their own meteorological services. And they're both of them, both Brazil and Argentina are right now locally saying, hey, we think that our dry threat this year is higher than last year.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agripol. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.